I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. In 1989's film Broken Promises, John Zaritsky introduced viewers to a group of young adults coping with the effects of thalidomide, a drug that was marketed aggressively in the 1960s as a cure for morning sickness. Thousands of mothers took the pills, and many babies were born, many aborted or murdered because of these defects. Mr. Zaritsky followed up with these men and women around the world with 1999's Extraordinary People. Now, a new film completes the trilogy, No Limits. It has its world premiere at the Doxa Documentary Film Festival this Saturday, the 7th of May. John Zaritsky joins me now to preview this film, the people therein, and what's happened in the over 2.5 decades since he first met these really remarkable people. John Zaritsky is a documentary filmmaker who has won many awards, including an Academy Award for Just Another Missing Kid, a Cable Ace Award for Rapist, Can They Be Stopped, as well as 7 Geminis. He's also received 3 Emmy nominations for his work in a career that spanned nearly 40 years. He's been on this program in the past for his films A Different Drummer and The Wild Horse Redemption. The screening of No Limits is at the Van City Theater this Saturday at 4 p.m. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, John Zaritsky. Mr. Zaritsky, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I really, in watching this film, really came to admire the people that are featured in No Limits. These are people that you've obviously followed over the years. The first film was, I guess, 1989, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I've been involved with a couple of the thalidomiders in the film for close to 30 years now.
Yeah.
So it's been a really wonderful experience. I started out with them when they were in their mid-20s, then hooked up with them again in their late-30s, and now they're in their mid-50s, and they truly are, as the title of the second film, Extraordinary People.
Yeah.
And there's no limits to their determination and courage and... But surprisingly, no limits to the good humor that they display about their disabilities.
Yeah, they all have a sense of humor, and I guess that's advice for all of us, that to get through anything, we would need that.
Yeah, I think you can learn a great deal from the thalidomiders. I often think of them when I have suffered some sort of minor disability, and I compare it to what they've put up with since birth, and it gives me the perspective I need on life often.
When was it that, so I guess it was in the 80s that you first encountered them
and
got to know them. I want to know how you got involved with them in terms of making a film. Did you? Was there someone in your life personally, say? Or
no, not at all. What got me into thalidomide was reading an article in my old newspaper, the Globe and Mail, in which I learned that thalidomide victims in Canada hadn't received a penny of compensation over a 25-year period, in which a number of federal governments had promised to do so. So that's how I got into it, because I felt it was a terrible injustice. And shortly after the film was released, Ottawa finally agreed to provide compensation to Canadian thalidomiders.
Yeah.
Not enough, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it was a start on adequate compensation, which they finally received last year.
Yeah. You spent the time in the film talking about the original manufacturer of thalidomide, Grünenthal. That's a German company. And the connections with the Nazi regime are quite a few, aren't they?
Yeah, it's quite shocking, really. And that's what brought me back for a third film, where these court documents that had been sealed for 40 years would which indicated that, not indicated, which proved that the German pharmaceutical company was owned by Nazis who, after the war, employed Nazi doctors, some of whom had been convicted and served time for war crimes committed at Auschwitz. The inventor of thalidomide was a Nazi doctor. And these documents clearly demonstrated that this German Nazi-owned pharmaceutical company knew 8 months before they put the drug on the market that it could cause deformed babies. And they went ahead and made millions, including the Nazi doctor who founded the drug.
Yeah. And at one point in Germany, it sold quite well. That it was, I guess, number two to aspirin at one point, right?
Absolutely. It was the second biggest drug in West Germany after its introduction.
Yeah. So you mentioned this court case, and this would have been in the 60s or the early 70s, I guess. And when was it?
The settlement was reached in 1972.
Yeah.
The owner and a number of his executives were charged with manslaughter and criminal negligence, and in the longest trial in history since Nuremberg, they finally made a deal whereby all charges would be dropped in return for the company donating several million dollars at the time into a fund for German victims.
Yeah.
But the court documents that were being used to prosecute the pharmaceutical owner and executives were also, as part of the deal, sealed from public view and stored in an archive in West Germany for 40 years.
Yeah. And to this day, I mean, you tried to talk to people from Grünenthal, And they refuse to speak with you. They haven't paid anything out, have they?
They've only paid victims in Germany. Outside of Germany, in 46 other countries where the drug was distributed, they haven't paid the victims 1 cent.
Yeah. Is there a figure, John, on how many babies were aborted or murdered because they were lacking limbs once this was discovered, I guess, after they were born?
I'm not sure if there's any exact figure on the number of thalidomide babies who were murdered by doctors or allowed to die, but it certainly would be in the hundreds, if not the thousands.
Yeah, one thalidomider in your film, the filmmaker, he suggests that it's thousands.
I'm quite prepared to, accept that as a fairly good estimate. The trouble is that a lot of these births and all were hidden away.
It was a
huge shame. So to find accurate statistics is difficult.
That fellow in the film, who's a filmmaker, and he owns a castle, we find out in the course of the film. Was he difficult to get to participate? Because he talked in the film about how for a lot of years he didn't want to even be around people with thalidomide, who are victims of thalidomide, I should say.
Well, actually, he's evolved quite a bit. His name's Nico von Glashow. And as you bravely point out, as a child, he didn't want to have anything to do with other thalidomiders. And that continued to be his attitude as he became an adult and a very skillful, prize-winning German filmmaker. And only because he was forced almost into making a a documentary about German thalidomide's, did his attitude towards himself and his fellow thalidomide's change, so that now he's quite an activist and crusader on behalf of thalidomide's, not only in Germany, but around the world, and has certainly given his millions and millions, isn't in need of the money himself. So he's contributed to thalidomide causes, and as I say, he's an activist now.
Yeah, a really funny guy in the film. Laughed a lot whenever he had something to say. Usually something vulgar, right?
Yeah. No, I love Nico. Loved hanging out with him in his castle. Yeah. Had so much fun with him. He's a great guy. And, you know, but like so many of them, like when I hang out with Alvin, the Canadian guy who, you know, has overcome being born without arms. So, you know, he does everything with his feet. But he's also a very funny guy, so we like to go out and have a few drinks and tell some jokes, you know?
Yeah, Alvin Law, and he's based in Calgary, is that right?
That's right, he's an inspirational speaker.
Yeah.
Very skillful.
He is a drummer, too, and...
He's a drummer, can play the piano, drives a car, travels 100,000 miles around the world, totally on his own. It's just amazing to see him check into a hotel, pull up in a car, take his luggage out, check into a hotel, unpack, shave, get dressed. I mean, all with his feet. You know, I've been watching him do it for close to 30 years, and it still blows me away.
There's a beautiful scene in No Limits where I guess you show him a clip from, say, 30 years ago when he's playing with his young son.
Yeah.
And he's watching that 30 years later. And the tears just flow. He's so he says, he's very clear to say that it's not out of sadness. It's just really joy, isn't it?
Yeah, because he had and has a very close and loving relationship with his son. And, very, very emotionally attached to him.
Yeah.
It was a huge event in his life to be able to have a normal son, you know, physically and mentally.
Yeah, you talked to a couple of the parents in the film who really were worried as they were pregnant whether their children would be like them without limbs. And I can't remember the name of the woman now, who was just joyous. When she, you know, the ultrasound, I guess they found a foot and they found the arms. And
Eileen Cronin, the American victim, she's quite eloquent describing the process of the ultrasound results coming arm by arm, feet by feet, toes by toes, fingers by fingers.
Yeah.
It's quite moving, actually.
Yeah. The parents of the thalidomider from Australia, you talk to them, and I'm curious to know, John, when you talk to say, the parents of thalidomiders, because you talked to a number of them over the years, did you ask them at all about, say, guilt in taking this pill?
You know, I'm actually trying to remember, because it's a very good question, obviously. I only interviewed, of course I asked them why they took the pill, and most of them offered explanations that, you know, showed that they weren't feeling guilty, that they had taken it under, you know, a doctor's, you know, recommendation. You know, they had been sick or whatever at the time. And so, I mean, they offered enough explanations to satisfy me, and I wasn't something I really wanted to impress on a mother on either.
Yeah. But you do...
There are limits, Joe.
But when you ask them about love and sex, though, it seems that those questions, they were quite forthcoming, weren't they?
They're amazingly candid, open, and honest people about everything in their life, everything to do in their lives. So there were no taboo subjects with any of them. I felt free and did to ask them about sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever, you know. And they were quite happy to let me know what was going on with them.
And what was nice about the folks in No Limits was that they, I think all of them found love, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, I think that's quite remarkable, but it's testimony to what remarkable people they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's eight of them in this. Well, the only, there is one exception, of course, is the Australian woman who's so badly handicapped that, you know, she's mentally still a baby practically.
Uh-huh.
So it wouldn't be possible in her case. But in the remaining seven film subjects, you know, some of them, you know, have married and divorced and are now on second marriages, but they all seem to have found the love of their lives. It's quite nice.
Are you open to checking in with them again, say, 5 years down the road, say?
Well, I never intended to do this three times. It's a really totally accidental trilogy because something happened that brought me back each time. I should never say never, as they say.
Yeah.
I've reached a stage where I'm going to practice retirement for a year. My wife and I are leaving the end of the month to live in Europe, different parts of Europe. So I've promised her that I'm going to try to practice at least being retired. So I don't know.
You're not looking forward to that, or?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it a great deal.
Yeah.
Like a dream year.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like fun, and urge people to go down to Doxa this weekend to see this. It's a fine piece of work, No Limits, and it, as I said before we started, it's made me want to go see the other two, so I'm going to look for those. Congratulations on this film, John. It's nice talking again.
Nice talking to you, Joe.
No Limits has its world premiere at Doxa this Saturday, the 7th of May at the Van City Theater, 4 p.m. That's when it shows. Its director, John Zaritsky, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.